I want us to look at those words there that we find in this passage of God's Word. Verse number 47 is my text. And Jesus said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. I wonder tonight if I were to ask you, what do you believe has been the greatest blessing that God has given you today? And God has given you in your life. I wonder what you would say. Perhaps someone would say, well, the greatest blessing has to be health and strength, to be able to get up in the morning, to be able to step out of the bed, put on your own clothes and have your breakfast and go through another day. The measure, the blessing of health and strength, for there's so many people have not that blessing to enjoy. And yet, my friend, that is a real blessing from God, but it is not the greatest. In the book of the Psalm 103, in verse number 2 it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And then the Holy Spirit goes on to give us, through David, gives us the list of the blessings. And it says this, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Now if man had written that, friend, I'll tell you of himself, he would have put who healeth all thy diseases first. Because men and women would think, well, that's the greatest blessing of all. That you've got health and strength to go through another day. And whilst that is a great blessing, my friend, it says, forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. But the first greatest blessing of all is, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. You see, the greatest blessing is sins forgiven. To know that you're right with God, friend. And yet for many people, my friend, they do not see that as the greatest blessing because they do not look upon it as a blessing at all. Because in their thinking, it is not in their mind. They really do not see sin as a problem. And yet, whenever we just bring it all back, friend, you look at this world, there's so much heartache and so much hurt. You see so many problems in the world. And where did this all come from? Sin. Because the Word of God says, by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And my friend, all the sorrow of this old world, if you want to find out where it comes from, friend, it comes from sin that entered into this world through Adam. And we, the sons and daughters of Adam's accursed race, have known and experienced, and are experiencing it, the fruits of sin to this day. Now on Monday night, whenever we were looking at the Pharisee and the publican, we saw one man who saw no sin. He didn't need God to. He didn't need God's help. He didn't need God's forgiveness. But my friend, the other man cried out. He said these words, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And last night, we were looking at the reality of the effects of sin. What sin does. How that sin deceives. How that sin divides. How that sin devours. How that sin destroys. How that sin, my friend, finally damns that poor, precious soul. And David cried out. He says, I acknowledge my sin. And he said, my sin is ever before me. He felt the awful pain and pangs of his sin. Tonight I want us to witness the blessing of sins forgiven. I wonder, do you know what I'm talking about? Can I ask you tonight, before God, listen as we commence this gospel message, do you know what it is to know that your sins, which are many, have been blotted out, never, ever to be remembered against you anymore? And if God was to take you at this moment, in this gospel meeting, friend, in that seat in this gospel tent, if God was to take you from this time into eternity, to out to meet Him, you have nothing to fear. Why? Because your sins are forgiven. It's all done. With. They're gone. They're underneath the blood of the Christ of Calvary. They're as far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Hallelujah. Praise God, my sins are gone. Now let me tell you this, even though that is true, there is not one of us in this tent tonight but has a sinful past. Not one of us. And I don't care who you are, and I don't care what your background is, friend. The Word of God tells us that, as I said last night, we were born in sin. But not only were we born with the nature of sin, we have sinned. And the stain of sin has been upon each and every one of our hearts, and there's not one of us but has a sinful past. But of course, most of those sins are not known by the person sitting beside you. And you're glad of that, aren't you? But everyone has a past. But let me tell you, my friend, if they knew just exactly the sins of your heart and of your lifetime, you'd be totally embarrassed, but God knows all about them. Thou God seest me. Well, the story tells us in Luke's Gospel, chapter 7, of a woman with a sinful past, just like you. But friend, the difference is this. Her sinful past was known. Yes, the people of the community knew this woman's sinful past. And yet, my friend, what I want you to notice is this. Whilst this woman had a sinful past, the Lord Jesus Christ, He dealt with her past. He changed her present. And hallelujah, He gave her a future. Isn't that good? I tell you, that's the greatest thing of all. He dealt with her past. He changed her present. And glory to God, He gave her a future. It's only Jesus can do that. I tell you, there's nobody else can work that miracle. And I want you to notice, my friend, this glorious future this girl had whenever she came by faith to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, of course, the story starts. We're introduced to Simon, the Pharisee. You'll find out there were three people in the story, friend, three characters. There's Simon, there's the sinner, and there's the Savior. Those are the three characters of the story. And I want to tell you, I want to talk about each one of them. Because let me tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ was able to deal with a sinner. Sad reality is this. Simon left him unchanged. And one went to heaven and the other went to hell. And yet they met the same Savior, sat under the same Savior in the same house. And yet one went to hell and the other went to heaven. Now the story starts with a man called Simon. Look at verse number 40. Because the Lord Jesus calls, and Jesus answering said unto him, Simon. Now in the Bible, friend, whenever the New Testament, there are nine Simons that are mentioned. Actually, there were two in the 12 disciples. This was not Simon Peter. This was not Simon the Canaanite. This was Simon the Pharisee. Now you'll notice in verse number 36 that this man, one of the Pharisees, his name was Simon, Jesus called him that, he desired Jesus that he would eat with him. And Jesus went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And let me just picture the scene. This Simon the Pharisee desired the Lord Jesus Christ to come into his house. Now that looks commendable. You see, that was a very thoughtful and a very kind invitation that this man gave. But I want you to notice, don't get carried away with things, friend, because they're not always as they seem. You know the old saying, all that glitters is not gold. Well, let me tell you, here's a man and he gives an invitation to the Lord Jesus Christ to come into his house and to have meat with him. And that sounds very good, my friend, but don't forget, the Pharisees hated Christ. The Pharisees were not the friends of the Lord Jesus. You remember in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 23, the Lord Jesus says, woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, you hypocrites. And the Pharisees didn't like the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there was something unusual about this invitation that was extended to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to notice, it's not that it was such a kind invitation and a very thoughtful invitation. There had to be something underlying it. There had to be something else why this invitation was given. Because I noticed something. There were customs of that day. If a person was a welcome guest, In the eastern countries, there were customs that would be adhered to, but you'll notice the customs were absent. For example, you notice the Lord Jesus noted them too. He noticed them. If you go down to verse number 44, it says, "And Jesus turned to the woman, said to Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thy house, says the Lord Jesus. Thou givest me no water for my feet." That was the first thing. And then he says, "She has washed my feet with tears." And then verse 45, it says, "Thou givest me no kiss. With this woman, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet." And then verse 46, "My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment." So here's customs that if it was a true invitation, if the Lord Jesus was a really welcome guest in this home, friend, there were three things that he would have done, but he didn't do it. And Jesus noted every one of them. You see, don't you think that the Lord doesn't know exactly what's going on in your heart? Don't you think that the Lord doesn't see what's going on in your heart right now in this gospel meeting? The Lord Jesus Christ took careful note of those three things. There were three customs. If he had been the welcome guest, if this had been the real, genuine invitation of someone who wanted Jesus, longed for Jesus to be in his home and be a part of his family celebration. But friend, listen, there was no water for his feet. Why was that important? What was the custom there? Well, you see, whenever a person was coming in those days in the eastern countries, the person did not wear any socks. In actual fact, they didn't wear shoes either. They wore sandals. And when a person was walking down the dusty pathway, do you know what happened, friend? You can understand. The dust would get in between the toes and get in the feet, and the feet would be dirty. And whenever a person would come into the house, what would be happening? There would be a basin there, and there would be water there, and quite often, the master of the house would wash the person, their guest's feet. But you notice something? He didn't wash his feet. Abby, there was no water to wash his feet. He didn't have the water even there to wash the Savior's feet, for he wasn't interested. There had to be another reason. And then you notice the second thing that the Lord Jesus noticed. He said in verse number 45, "Thou givest me no kiss." Now when a person comes to your house, friend, you reach out the hand and you say, "It's great to see you. I'm glad to see you." And we embrace a person with a handshake. But that was not the culture of those days. Because in actual fact, the culture of those days was a person was welcomed with a kiss. And to not give that kiss was an insult. But Simon gave him no kiss. And then the third thing was this. He said in verse number 46, "My head with oil thou didst not anoint." And you see, when a person was an honored guest, it was customary for his head to be anointed by his host. And yet the Lord Jesus did none of those things. Or Simon did none of those things for the Lord Jesus Christ. Then I have to ask the question, why did Simon invite the Lord Jesus in the first place? If he wasn't an honored guest, if he wasn't a welcome guest, why did Simon invite the Lord Jesus Christ into his house? It wasn't an invitation of friendship, friend. But to be quite honest, there was something that the Pharisees often did with Jesus. They were curious. And the other thing was, they were critics. You see, he had heard about the Lord Jesus and all the miracles that the Lord Jesus Christ had done. Because you'll find that earlier on in this chapter, friend, the Lord Jesus raised the young man that was going to the grave. And the young man was given back to his mother. It was her only son. And she was leading the funeral procession out to the burying of her child. The Lord Jesus Christ had worked the miracle in the healing of her son and given back his life. Now, Simon would have known that. He would have heard about that. It would have been talked about in the community. And you know, he was curious about this man, Jesus. These miracles that he was doing. But friend, let me tell you this. He was also not only curiosity, it was criticism. You see, the Pharisaical friends that were with him, because if you notice in verse 49, Simon wasn't on his own. It says there, and they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins? You see, he had his Pharisaical friends in with him too. They were all there just to watch Jesus, to criticize Jesus. That's why they invited him. You know, let me tell you, friend, not everybody comes to a gospel mission or a gospel meeting for to hear the gospel. Quite often somebody comes to criticize. Now, to be honest, I have to tell you before God, I'm not here in a beauty competition, so you needn't be thinking that I'm going to get worried. Because I can tell you this, God has sent me to preach the word and to be faithful to him, not to fear man or what man thinks. But I'm going to tell you the truth. And I tell you this, that faithful preacher who preaches the truth, remember what Jesus said, it's the truth that sets you free. And he whom the Son sets free, praise God, he is free indeed. Here is Pharisee. Here's this man, this curious critic of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he extends the invitation to Christ, but he insults him when he comes in through the door. He doesn't do the customary things to show Jesus is welcome. Let me ask you this. Before you start criticizing Simon, what about your reception of Christ? Revelation chapter 3 verse 20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And friend, he's at the door of your life and your heart, and he's knocking. He says, if any man hear my voice and open that door, he says, I will come into him and I will sup with him and he with me. We'll have fellowship together. But let me ask you, where's Jesus in your life? He's not got in through the door. Isn't that true? There's people here tonight, and the Lord Jesus Christ, you stood at your door maybe for years. You've sat under the preaching of the gospel, and you've knocked that door, friend. You've barred that door. You've come to multitudes of gospel meetings, and you've gone out into the night again, night after night, night after night, closing that door to Jesus. Yes, we've got Simon, but then notice something else, and we're going to look at this woman here. Look at verse 37. It says, and behold, behold a woman in the city, which was a sinner. There are three things I want you to notice about this woman. We're going to dwell with her tonight in the rest of our meeting. And the first thing was this, her attendance. You see that word, behold a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment. Now listen, this was no ordinary woman, friend. As far as the woman of the city was concerned, it says, which was a sinner. Now all the women in the city were sinners, but she was a noted sinner. In other words, she was well known by the fame of who she was. Listen, let's be honest. She's a woman of the night. She's a prostitute. She's a harlot. Now, whenever we look at here, she heard that Jesus Christ, I don't know who told her Jesus was in that house. It says there that she, when she heard that Jesus was in the house, or when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, she brought that alabaster on. Now listen, she wasn't invited. Let's get that. Simon didn't invite her. In actual fact, when you look at it, Simon didn't want her. He didn't want her here. Let me tell you, friend, you see this tent and those doors over there? I don't care who comes through that door, they're welcome. I want to tell you, there's nobody sending anybody away. Don't care who they are. Don't care what their background is. I don't care, my friend, how deep down in sin they are. Let me tell you, Jesus said, I am come to seek to save that which was lost. Sinners of every hue and tribe, they're lost. And just as that harlot came in, or that prostitute came in to hear to the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, friend. So everyone's welcome in this tent to hear the gospel of redeeming grace, because that's who Jesus came to save. He came to save sinners. She's a woman of ill repute. Actually, the fact, if you look at verse number 39, Simon describes her. He said there, this man, if he, that's speaking about the Lord Jesus, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touched him. For she is a sinner. So is he. See, there was a difference between Simon and that woman, friend. She knew she was a sinner. He didn't. You see, she knew that she needed to be saved, but he thought he was too good to be saved. And there's multitudes of people around Porta Down tonight, and they're just like that. They do not see any need of the Lord Jesus Christ because they don't see their sin. And you know, in those words, I hear the scorn, even the very disgust. He despised this woman. There, he said, you know, if he had been a prophet, he would have known who and what manner of woman this is. She's a sinner, you know. She's a sinner. Now, here's the question, friend. Why was she in Simon's house? Or how did she get in? How did she get in? She wasn't invited. How did she get there? Well, let me give you another custom. You see, in the days of there in the Middle East, in those days, people made it a virtue, hospitality a virtue. And they liked to know, and they liked the people to know that they were entertaining guests. And so what they did is, they left the windows open and they left the doors open. And whenever they left those doors open, friend, anyone who wished to come in, to look in, or to look on, were allowed to do so. Now, you wouldn't do that in your house, but that was a custom. And you see, this would have been a wealthy place, and you see, whenever people would come and look on, whenever there were special guests, that made the host look important. They looked important. And it was not unusual for others to come in and observe the meal or the banquet. Quite often they would stand around the side. It usually was a very large room, and they would stand, and sometimes there were seats that people could sit and just watch. Now, they couldn't participate, but they watched. They looked on. And this woman came in. But, friends, she came with a purpose, because notice she was carrying something. She was carrying an alabaster box of ointment. She knew that Jesus was in the house, and she was carrying in her hand an alabaster box of ointment. Now, friend, that was a very precious thing. And that was a very valuable thing. And she brought her best into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. But why did she come? I want you to notice one little word. It makes all the difference in this story. Look in verse number 37. And behold, a woman in the city. Now, this is the Holy Ghost writing. Notice the next two words, which was a sinner. Now, whenever Simon was talking about her, he says, she is a sinner. But the Holy Ghost said, she was a sinner. In other words, her life had been transformed by the Lord Jesus Christ before she came into that place. And the reason why she came, friend, she came with the alabaster box of ointment, which was very precious and very valuable, and she desired to pour it over the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ to express her love for the Lord Jesus. And to express her thankfulness for what God had done in her hearts. She was making an open confession. You see, as far as the city was concerned, as far as Simon was concerned, as far as the world was concerned, she was a sinner. All they knew about her, listen, she lived a filthy life. But the Lord Jesus Christ has changed her life. And she's gloriously changed. She's been released from her sinful past. And she wants to openly confess before all that her life has been changed by Christ. Now, we're not told how it happened. Was it along the way, friend? For the Lord Jesus was preaching along the way. I don't know. But one thing I do know is the Holy Ghost says, not that she is a sinner, she was one. And friend, that's your history. If you're saved tonight, that's your history too. The Holy Ghost writes over you, he was a sinner. But thank God, once I was a sinner, but now I'm free. He rescued me. And here was a woman, her life has been changed. She was a sinner. This is the record of God, friend, in his blessed book. Simon said, she is a sinner. That's all he could see. All he could see was her sinful past. And he wanted to throw it up in her face. But she was gloriously changed. That's why she attended that day. She attended with a purpose, a definite purpose, because she carried in her hand the most valuable possession that cost her a fortune in her hand, the alabaster box of ointment, to pour it on the feet of Jesus, to bring it to the feet of Jesus. But secondly, notice her actions. What did she do with it? Well, you notice something about this woman. Now, I'm not going to get into trouble here. But this is a hard thing to... She never spoke a word. Not America. She never is recorded as speaking a word. Now, ladies, don't hit me on the way out. But the days of miracles haven't ceased. And this woman, she never spoke a word, friend. But listen, have you heard the old story? Or the old proverb? Actions speak louder than words. And that's exactly what's speaking here. She doesn't speak by her lips, but she speaks by her actions. And those actions are very important, friend. Because in spite of all her fears, now remember this, Simon and the people in that house knew her past, her sinful past. And let me tell you, I'm sure there were fears in her. What will they say if I come in? Will they throw me out? Will they insult me? Will they curse me? Will they cast my past in my face? I mean, she had to get past those. She wanted to tell the Lord and show the Lord how much she loved him. And she didn't care what man would say and she didn't care what man would do. She wanted to honor and love the Lord Jesus Christ. And in spite of all her fears, she entered Simon's house and she stood at the feet of Jesus. You know why, friend? Because 1 John chapter 4, 18 says, perfect love casteth out all fear. And her fears were dealt with. Because there was something now in her heart. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. And I want to tell the Lord I love him. And she comes to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, friend. And the Bible says she stands at his feet. And you say, hold on a wee second, preacher. The Lord Jesus sat at meat. And she stands at his feet. Does that mean she stood in front of him? Was she there to flaunt herself as she'd done many a time in the past, stood before men to lead them astray and lead them into sin? No, friend. Listen, know the custom again. Because whenever Jesus Christ sat at meat, it doesn't mean he sat in a seat like our brother sitting down there or you're sitting down there. No, friend. In the olden days, there used to be a couch. Do you remember the old... Well, some of you remember. Our brother's pretending he was just hardly... He's hardly nearly born last week. Never mind, 50 years ago. But there used to be the old couch. And you lay on the old couch and you lay along it. And that's exactly what they did. There was a couch and the Lord Jesus Christ, he would have been facing those people that he was engaged with. And he would lay on the couch and his arm would have been there. And he would have taken the food from it. And as he lay on the couch, his feet would have been behind him. They were out behind.
And that's where the woman stood. Oh, no, she didn't stand in front of him. She was happy to stand behind him. Stand at his feet. Oh, she didn't stand kissing him in the face. She was happy to linger at his feet. And friend, notice what she did. She did five things. She washed his feet. She dried his feet. She kissed his feet. And she anointed his feet, as well as standing at his feet. Five things. Five in Scripture is a number of grace. Let me tell you, grace had already been wrought in her heart. The grace of God already changed this woman. And she did those five things, standing at the feet of the Lord Jesus. God's grace had changed her life. And she stands there quietly at the feet of Jesus. But no sooner does she stand in the presence of the Holy Christ, the one who had changed her, the one who had delivered her and released her from the chains of her sinful past, the tears began to flow. And the tears dropped like raindrops. And they flowed. Tears of contrition. Lord Jesus, I'm sorry. Sorry for my past. I'm sorry for my sin. She's brokenhearted over her sinful past. But friend, there's something else. There's tears of gratitude here. Because let me tell you, sometimes when people are so happy, they cry. And she's filled with gratitude for what Christ has done, and she just comes to the feet of the Lord Jesus, and she kneels down at the feet of Christ, and she stoops down. The teardrops fall upon his feet. Now you say to me, hold on a wee second. There's not enough tears for to wash Jesus' feet. When I was out in Israel, and our brother Ken goes often there as well, the guide said to me, you see, in olden times what they did was this. In a person's life, quite often there were many troubles and sorrows and heartaches. And you know, friend, what they used to do is they used to gather their tears and they put them in a bottle. That's in the book. Put thou my tears in a bottle. Are they not in thy book? That's what it says in the Word of God. And this woman in her sinful past, you see, people thought she was enjoying her sin, friend, but let me tell you, her heart was broken many times. You see, behind many a smiling face is a broken heart. And people thought as she fronted herself before these men and led them out into sin that somehow she was living it up. But let me tell you, my friend, when the night was over and her guilt was upon her conscience, her heart would break. She was empty. She was hopeless. She was helpless. She was lost. And she'd gather those tears and she'd put them in a bottle and then she would put it in her apron. And the guide said, you know, he believed that day, whenever that woman knelt at the feet of Jesus, yes, the fresh, scorching tears of brokenness dropped on the feet of the Lord Jesus, but she reached into her pouch and she brought out the bottle of her tears of the past. And the cold tears of her broken heart and the fresh tears of her broken present was poured upon the feet of Jesus, and she washed the feet of Jesus. Simon had no water for his feet, but she had her tears. And she washed the feet of Jesus. And then she took her hair. The Word of God tells me that her hair, a woman's hair, is her glory. And many a time she flaunted the locks of hair to lead many a man astray. But she stoops down and she kneels down at the feet of Jesus in humility and brokenness. And she takes her hair And she uses her hair as a towel to wipe the feet of Christ. She brings her glory to the feet of Jesus. And then she lifts the feet of Christ and she holds them. And she does something else. She kisses the feet of Christ. Oh, many a man she has kissed and led him to sin. But she's not kissing the cheek of Christ. No, no. She kisses his feet. Those feet that trod the dusty pathway of that countryside to bring good news and deliverance to sinners. And she kissed tenderly. Notice, it says, she hath not ceased to kiss my feet. She kissed his feet again and again and again. Do you know why, friend? She couldn't stop loving Jesus. And I sang a wee hymn before I started to preach tonight, "My Jesus, I Love Thee." And that woman that day was declaring her love for Christ. Let me ask you, do you love Jesus? I remember when my mother was in Craigavon Hospital, and I went in to see her one night, and this young Roman Catholic nurse, young lad, he called me over to the side and he said, "Mr. McRae, is that your mother?" I said, "Yes, it is." And he said a lovely thing. He says, "My, Mr. McRae, doesn't she love Jesus?" He says, "I've stood outside the curtains at times and I could hear your mummy pray. And I heard her say, 'Jesus, I love you.'" And she said, "You know," he said to me, he says, "she went down, each one of you, her children." And she says, "Lord, I love Juan, and I love Ivy, and I love Sharon, and I love Anne, and I love William." And she said this, "But Lord Jesus, I love you best of all. I love you best of all." And my friend, as this woman knelt down at the feet of Jesus, this broken-hearted soul, say, "Jesus, I love you. I love you with all my heart. I love you best of all." I'm sure she thought of the wasted years that she'd lived. She's at the feet of Jesus. Remember some years ago when I was ill, a dear lady come, and just before I was married, I stayed at a home outside Macrafelton. This lady had been coming to our meetings. She came to see me as I was sick. I was lying in bed. And senior lady, she came. She sat down beside in the seat beside me. She started to talk to me. Then all of a sudden, she just fell on her knees at the side of the bed where I was lying. She said, "Mr. McRae, will you lead me to Jesus? I need to be saved." I led her to Christ, and I rejoiced in what God had done in her heart and how God had forgiven her sin. And then she started to cry. I wondered why the tears. I thought the devil was trying to tell her she wasn't saved and putting doubts and fears in her mind. I said, "Tell you what's wrong, dear." She says, "Miss McRae, my husband died. I wasn't saved, and I didn't know to tell him that he needed Jesus. And he's out in God's eternity. If only I'd been saved, I could have told him." And then she said, "I had a young daughter of 18 years of age, and she took a sickness and she died.
And I love her with all my heart. But I didn't know to tell her she needed Jesus. And she died without Jesus. She said, "You asked me why the tears. Preacher, the wasted years. Wasted years. Not knowing Jesus." But this woman finally anoints the feet of Jesus, friends. Let me tell you this. And the rich fragrance and the odor of that alabaster box that was broken on the feet of Christ filled the air. She consecrated her all to Jesus. And her actions gave the evidence of true repentance. And friends, let me tell you, you can't profess to be saved and hold on to your sin. You've got to let go of your sin. You've got to repent of it. And thank God He'll forgive you. And that's the last thought, her acceptance. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, He knew what was going on in Simon's heart. See, earlier on in verse 39, it says, "And when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself." He muttered inside. But the Lord knew what was inside. He knew what He was saying about this woman. She's only a sinner. And the Lord Jesus Christ, He looked at verse 44, and He turned to the woman and He said to Simon, He says, "See that woman? Do you see her? Do you see her?" "Oh, yes." He saw her, all right. He saw her sin. The Lord Jesus said, "I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet." He says, "Simon, examine your own heart. And maybe you see the sin in somebody else's life, friend. Let me tell you, I've said that many times in this mission. It's you and God. Not somebody else. Examine your own heart, Simon. You give me no water. You give me no kiss. You give me no ointment. No oil." She did. "Yes, see her," says Jesus. And then Jesus, very quickly, notice verse 47. Jesus spoke about her. "Wherefore I say unto you, Simon, her sins which are many are forgiven." Notice that. The Lord knew exactly about her sin. He says, "Her sins which are many." Yes, He wasn't covering up her sin. Thank God He was forgiving her sin. But He wasn't overlooking her sin. He knew all about her sinful past. And Jesus spoke about her and He says, "I know all about her past. Her sins which are many. Simon, I want to tell you, they're forgiven. Her past is forgiven. Her past has been blotted out." And then He turned in verse 48 to the woman and He said unto her, "Thy sins are forgiven." Isn't that lovely? Sins forgiven. Now I want you to notice something before we close. She wasn't forgiven because she wept at the feet of Jesus. She wasn't forgiven because she kissed the feet of Jesus. She wasn't forgiven because she anointed the feet of Jesus with the alabaster box of ointment. What was the secret of her forgiveness? We have it in verse number 50. "And Jesus said to the woman, Thy faith has saved you." You're saved by faith. By grace are you saved through faith. That woman believed that only Jesus could forgive her. That woman believed that only Jesus would forgive her. And glory to God, she went further. She believed that Jesus had forgiven her. Hallelujah. And she's coming into His presence to express her love for that forgiveness. And then Jesus says three lovely words. "Go in peace."
Let me tell you, friend, as I was thinking about that, many a person thought that woman was enjoying her sin. But she never knew what it was to lie down at night at peace. The guilt of her past. But praise God, Jesus sent her home that night. He says, put your head on the pillow. And he says, enjoy the peace of God. Therefore, Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Let me ask you a question to close. Do you not want peace of heart and peace of mind? Why do you love your sin so much? Why do you want to hold on to your sin, that sin that brings accusation against you, that sin, my friend, that brings guilt to your soul, that sin that one day will stand before you at the judgment, that sin that will cry out for judgment, that sin that will take you to the lowest hell? What is so precious that you want that sin? Jesus said to this woman, go in peace. She went home that night. And for the first time in her life, then, she had peace of heart, peace of mind, peace of conscience, peace of soul. Peace with God. Why? Her sins forgiven. And you can go home that way tonight. You say, preacher, you don't know my past. Let me tell you, I don't need to. I don't need to know it. God knows all about you. Your sins, which are many. But friend, I can tell you this. You can go home changed because your sins can be forgiven. Underneath the blood of the Christ of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn, in the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God. My sins are gone. You notice? Simon never asked forgiveness. And he went to hell. The poor lost sinner took her place as a sinner and got God's forgiveness. And tonight she's in heaven. Which one's you, friend? Heaven or hell? Your sin on the record of God to stand before you at the judgment, or your sin under the blood? Which one's you? May God give you grace to come as a sinner to Jesus, the Savior.